This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
People really don't know what their expenses will be because they don't know how long that they're going to live.
Obviously, the older you are, the more secure your income you are.
It's going to more safe things that they know. If they know they're going to need that money to supplement their retirement, well, then you can't play that risk.
Welcome to From Diapers to It Depends with Robert Goldsmith. Robert has been an expert in the financial services arena for over 30 years, and now he wants to teach you a few tricks of the trade. And now, From Diapers to It Depends with Robert Goldsmith.
Good morning, Tampa Bay and the rest of the USA on Facebook Live. This is Robert Goldsmith.
And I'm his better half, Deanna.
And we are From Diapers to It Depends, your financial talk radio show. Actually, it's where anything goes. And today we're talking about finances. Oh, we do that every Wednesday morning here at 9 a.m. But the most important thing to understand is that we are here for you to assist you with getting questions and answers about how to manage your money. Maybe things that you might want to learn more about because, well, you just haven't got a clue. And why is it that most people don't have a clue? So the answer is financial literacy. So I'm going to ask you this question to my parents out there. My parents, where are you? If you're out there, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you had the talk with your kids yet?
Robert, this is a PG show.
I know it's PG, but I'm talking about this talk, not that talk. You know which talk I'm talking about, right? It's the one where we learn about financial literacy. That's right, financial literacy, because you know what? Most people don't know financial literacy. In fact, I would tell you that finances is perhaps the most misunderstood, most complicated, most complex system, along with the IRS, because when you have or you talk about money, everything you do always seems to involve our Uncle Sam.
Yep.
Am I right or right?
Oh, absolutely.
I know you hate that phrase. But anyway, so I just wanted to throw that out there so we can kind of get started. And here's why. Did you know that according to the USA Today, Americans flunk the retirement quiz? And that's 2 out of 10 people actually grasp the ideas of what's going on with their retirement, which tells you there's also a need for more educated, more sound, and more astute financial planners. Unfortunately, we don't have enough astute financial planners, in my humble opinion. So we're going to start coaching and teaching you along the way, and that's why we are here. And we got some statistics on what's happening in the financial literacy. So Deanna, take it away.
Yeah, over the years, unfortunately, Americans are becoming less literate, and it's really sad. You would think with all the technology that we have, with the social medias, the internet and everything, that people would actually start doing more self-studying or learning about it, but they're not. I'm going to give you some key findings that is happening with the financial literacy. Did you know that in 2017, the financial literacy increased from 20% to 25% in 2023? Now, Generation Gen Z and Gen Y have the lowest financial literacy rate among the U.S. generation. They are up to 45%.
Wait, 45% what?
Financial literacy.
So no, you're saying 55% of the Gen Z is and the Gen X have no clue about what's happening.
Correct, in the financial world.
In the financial
world.
Literacy.
Uh-huh.
Well, what a surprise.
And compared to women, there is a gender gap. Men, 62% of the men are financially literate, where only 52% of women are. So there's a 10% gap within the women compared to the men.
So what you're saying is most women don't take the initiative to actually learn more about what's going on in their financial lives as a couple. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are simply focusing on, I've got my husband, he's got a job, he's the breadwinner per se. And that may not be as prevalent as it was, say, 30 years ago, but it's prevalent to the extent that most people today just don't get the fact that you are required to learn about your finances. And if you don't, then it's on you.
Yeah, I mean, I can show that with my parents. My mom depended on my dad and didn't take an initiative to learn anything.
And if I go into my story, when my dad passed away when I was a teenager, mom was left with nothing because there was no plan of action. So if anybody said, why am I in this profession? The odds are pretty good. It's because the man upstairs had a plan, a direction for me.
Yep. And unfortunately, the lower income people, 72%. Wow. Are financially literate.
So 72% of the people with lower incomes have little understanding of how their finances work. So,
well, and that's why it kind of correlates with where they're at, because they don't understand it.
So would you say then that most of the schools are certainly not focusing on what's important?
We'll get into that later in part of this conversation.
Okay.
But I want to finish with some of the stats.
Go for it.
So they're saying that the financial literacy is costing Americans $388 billion in 2033 because they don't understand money.
So financial illiteracy is costing people how much?
They figured $388
billion. $388
billion
is money that's been thrown away simply because people do not understand how money works.
Correct.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, any more stats or should I just go on?
No, that's the stats that they compared for 2023.
Got it. So, tell you a little bit about myself. I've actually been at this game for longer than some of the Gen X, since all of Gen X and Gen Zers have been alive.
Which, dang, you're old.
I know, don't tell anyone. But it's the reason I dye my hair. But the most important thing for people to understand is that if you took the initiative to actually comprehend what's going on in your financial world, you could be better off. And, you know, one of the things that's even more relevant today is because when you hear what's going on, and you have to be under a rock to not know there's a political arena that has been dividing the country to some extent. But here's what's more important, is that they're both now trying to convey the same message. It's about the cost of goods, it's inflation, it's how money is spent, and most people could get a cap on that if they understood how money really works and the things they need to do to kind of offset. You know, the IRS has a phrase that says, we have what it takes to take what you got, right? We have what it takes to take what you got.
Correct. They do a good job of it.
And if they've got what it takes to take what you got, don't you need to be able to counteract that by knowing what you need to stop them from taking what you've got? Right or right?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Okay. So this is something we want to focus on today, is to understand how money works and how it can affect your life. So let's start with, when should economics or financial literacy start being taught? When do we think that would be a good time for kids?
While they're in school.
In school. Do we want to go like ninth grade?
Well, you know what? Do you remember back when we were in school? We had those classes. I remember having to follow the stock market, pretend to have a stock and follow it. We had to learn how to do banking accounts. We had to learn how to do household management. But when our kids went through school, they didn't have any of that taught in school at all. And I was taught in junior high is when we started that.
Yeah, so business economics. So I had a business economics class. I remember in junior college, I had actually a finance class that, believe it or not, included insight on things like life insurance. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, here's another stat, just to let you know. They are saying that 88% of Americans said they left unprepared because they weren't learned any financial or
direction,
work money or anything while they're in school.
So. Here's,
or their parents aren't teaching it to them.
So here's the question I would ask teachers. And teachers, if you're listening, you want to call in, feel free to do that. Why is it that we focus on things like algebra, calculus, geometry, which is great for someone that wants to become an engineer, a scientist?
But have you noticed that they're starting those classes a lot earlier now? I mean, we didn't have those classes, honestly, until we started high school. Now they're trying to teach some of it in grade school, the sixth grade and seventh grade. They're trying too early with these kids.
Yeah, so from our humble opinion, it's kind of nuts to go out and start teaching ninth graders or even eighth graders algebra, calculus. No, I remember what...
Algebra's fine, but it's when you go beyond that.
Well, here's the thing. I was in my 20th reunion in high school, and we had some teachers that showed up. And I remember going up to my math teacher, and I said, Mr. Zapolsky, did you know what? And he said, what? I got pi equal 3.14. And he goes, oh my God, Goldsmith, I'm surprised you remember that. And I said, and in 20 years, that's the first time I've ever used it. Which gives you kind of an insight. There are certain things that are going to be valuable when it comes to our financial world, yet at the end of the day, most people simply don't get to use what we learn in school. Like, for example, we can talk about history, you know, and we can talk about the Revolutionary War, and that's all great to know. right? Don't get me wrong. It's good to study history and to know it. And there are history buffs that make a living doing it. But most people don't understand what's going to get them by. And I think that's where our education system is failing our kids, is that we're not focusing on the things that they know. Like, can they balance a checkbook, right? Do they understand compound interest? Do they understand the difference between earning interest and paying interest? See, those are the things that I think they're missing out.
Well, here's a big one for you, and you're going to laugh at me. They can't even count change back at a fast food restaurant. So if we have another problem where the systems goes down, these kids don't.
So I'll tell you a story. So about a year ago, I was driving and getting a Dunkin' Donut and a cup of coffee. And this was $3.27. That's what it came to when I got to the window. So I gave the gal at the window $10 and then said, no, wait a minute, I've got money in my console. I can give you the 27 cents. So she says to me, no, I've already put it into my computer. I said, it doesn't matter. She goes, no, I can put it in my computer. My computer's going to be wrong if you give me the 27 cents. I said, no, it doesn't matter. It's still going to add up. I just need you to give me back $7. I don't worry about the change that way. She goes, and so eventually she actually had to call over a manager who said, not to worry, sir. We got it. Puts it in, gives me back $7. The end result is you have to know how money works. So now same day. I'm actually going to a chiropractor. And I went to the chiropractor's office and I signed my name in, and she comes up, pulls up the clipboard, and then says, sir, what was your name? And I write pretty legible when I'm at a doctor's office, and I could read my name, but she couldn't. I see, she goes, sir, what's your name? I said, I just wrote it down. And she goes, oh, I can't read it. I said, is that because it's in cursive? She goes, yeah, I can't read cursive, which shocked me. She was about 17, 18 years old, but I've learned now that they don't teach cursive yet. You know, we used to teach when I was in school, girls took shorthand.
Oh, yes, we definitely had that.
They took shorthand, which is even shorter than cursive, right?
Yes.
And they couldn't read cursive. I'm like, but you know, if you're taking notes at an event, sometimes typing it out, unless you record it, is going to be a difficult task. But being able to write it in cursive gives you the ability to write quicker, take the notes, and move forward. Well, she couldn't read cursive. So every day I went to the chiropractor thereafter, I would actually take a piece of paper and I would write something in a capital letter, block letter, and then I'd write it in a cursive letter so that she could start to learn how to read cursive. Which to me is sad that this is what we're not teaching our kids. I wonder if they could read an analog clock. Could you imagine if they had a sundial and that was all they had to go with?
They can't read the analog clock. Look at our kids.
I know. Well, our kids can.
They can, but look how they don't. They still have sometimes.
Well, no, I haven't had a problem with them reading the sundial lately.
Well, the rotary phone.
Oh, the rotary phone.
They don't know how to use it exactly. Isn't that true?
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Isn't it hard to believe that stuff is considered antique? And we're like, well, wait, they can't be antique.
Can you imagine if you gave one of those old answering machines with the tape in it?
Oh my God, yes. What to do?
Oh, I know, but it's like, we're not antique. How can those things be?
I don't think I'm antique. There may be some friends that think I'm antique, but but I'm not antique yet. I'm still going strong. Still playing a little ball when I get that chance.
But here's something else that we'll get back to the financial literacy.
We're coming up
thing.
To a hard break, so let's save that for the break.
Okay, yes.
Okay, it's just 19 after the hour, 20 after the hour in 3 seconds, and we'll be right back on Tan Talk Radio on From Diapers to It Depends.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional. Everyone knows there are a few places to accumulate funds for your retirement. At-risk options, exposing your life savings to the volatility of a casino and often filled with hidden fees and expenses. Or in a bank, principal protected, but with the returns lower than your grandpa used to earn. Now there's a third option, the peace of mind alternative. Accounts that protect your principal like a bank, but with earnings tied to an index tracking the market. The best of both worlds. Here's how it works. When the market rises, your account values are credited with all or a portion of the index gain.
gain. Gains that can be locked in as your new protected principal. But when the index drops, your account stays exactly the same. No fees, no losses. And these plans can generate an income stream for the rest of your life, even if you ran out of money. It's a great option for old 401ks and IRAs. Call me now, Robert Goldsmith, 844-435-SAFE. 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
Plans backed by A-rated insurance carriers and are not a direct investment in the market. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half or greater than 10% annually may incur a penalty. Ask for details. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, host of the unscripted talk radio program From Diapers to It Depends, where almost anything goes. Every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., I'll be bringing you tips and tricks on how to get the most from your hard-earned money. With money comes questions, and I've got the answers. Do you realize that almost everything you do can impact your financial lifestyle? From how you pay for your dinner to how you finance your home, everything is important. Tune in each and every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m. and let's make your money work hard for you on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you reviewed your life insurance policy? Whether you purchased your plan more than 3 years ago or recently from an unprepared agent, chances are your plan may be obsolete. The fact is, most of the plans offered lack all of the features and benefits that you're entitled to. While most policies only pay someone else when you die, our new plans actually pay to keep you alive. Plans that may offer you access to cash for medical needs or may even help supplement your retirement. Now here's another question. If what I just said is true, then which one of those two plans would you prefer? The old one that only pays someone else when you die, or the new one that pays for you to live, particularly if the costs are about the same? Find out more by contacting me at 1-844-435-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
This is a life insurance benefit that offers you the option to accelerate some or all of your death benefit in the event you meet the criteria for a qualifying event described in the policy. Not available in all states.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And welcome again to From Diapers to It Depends. I'm Robert.
And I'm Deanna.
And we are talking about how money works and some of the things that are going on today. And we're a little bit disappointed with what's happening in the school system where people just aren't learning what it takes to get by. And by default, what ends up happening is that people end up spending too much money in the wrong places. And more importantly, don't learn how to control their money so they can have a better future. Can we talk a little bit? What's your next topic?
Well, in the first part, we talked about people being financial literacy, and we talked about the stats and stuff. But now, on the flip side of this, this is what people, when they took a survey, feel how they feel about financial literacy. You know that 29% consider themselves very financial literate? You have 60% believe they are somewhat financial literate, and these stats are way off from the truth. So it's how what people feel about themselves, and the generation Xers and Zs think that 6.3, I don't know where the 0.3 comes from, out of 10 think they're financial literate.
So these are the Gen Zers. So we got 29% of the, what group was that again?
The Xers and Zers.
The Xers and the Zers. So
they actually think they know more about financial
literacy
than what they really do.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to create this week a financial quiz.
We already have one.
I want to take it one step level just for Gen Zers. You know, just to give them something to think about.
I know, but we already have the quiz. We can re-put it back up on the website.
Okay,
we took it down, but we can put it back up.
Okay, so we're going to put up the Money IQ quiz back on our website at financial411.net so that everybody can then start chiming in, at least learn or think, find out what you don't know about finances, because what you don't know can hurt you. So let me kind of get into some topics. So if I said Americans flunked the retirement quiz, what does that really mean? Well, retirement is definitely something that people, especially when they're younger, so the Gen Xers, the Gen Zers, they're not even thinking about retirement. They're thinking about the car they want to drive, the house they want to buy, the kids they want to go to, the shows they want to go to, how much it's going to cost for Swiftie concerts, how much it's going to cost, right? That's the things that they focus on because those are the things that give them immediate pleasure.
And yeah, immediate gratification.
Right. But when you're saving for retirement, you're saving into the future.
Correct.
And so you don't feel like it's going to be there. But here's what's more important. Just think about it from this perspective. Have you ever had one of those days where you put on a jacket that you had last winter and you reach into the pocket and there's a $20 bill?
That's a good feeling.
It makes you feel good, doesn't
yes.
it? I didn't have to tell you that. It makes you feel good.
What's funny, though, is we've done that a few times, and we come out, oh, look, I just found $20. Well, no, you didn't find $20. That was $20 you had, but you forgot you had.
Yeah, so it's your money.
Yes.
But you didn't know it. So it's like you sent money to yourself
Correct.
Into the future. Well, what retirement really is sending money to yourself into the future. But how you send it to yourself can impact dramatically how much money you're going to end up contributing to our dear Uncle Sam, right? That's what most people don't realize. So, for example, if I put it in a 401k, there are certain benefits that I'm going to receive. And you also have to know what the limitations are, like how much should you put in to your 401k. Most people don't know that. So here's what I'm going to tell you, that if you're putting too much money into your 401k, so I have a client that has accumulated, I'm going to say in the multi-million dollar range without being specific, money or dollars in his 401ks, his SEP IRAs, right? So he's got a ton of money in his retirement accounts, but here's the challenge. Because he has too much money in his retirement account and he has what are called required minimum distribution. So he is forced to take money out of his retirement at the age of 72. He's going to end up paying double, that's twice, for his Medicare insurance policy because he did the dirty, dastardly deed of saving too much money in the wrong places. So there's nothing wrong with saving lots of money, but there is something wrong with saving too much money in the wrong places. So one of the things we do at Financial 411 is we actually take all of your existing assets, wherever you are today, and then we'll calculate what it's going to mean if you continue on the same trajectory, and then what would happen if we made some alterations that might save you significant dollars on your Medicare premiums, on your health care, right? That's the same, but also more importantly on your taxes, right? So that you can be prepared. And what if I told you that if we do things right, we might even be able to eliminate the cost of long-term care? It's understanding the rules of engagement, and that's what most people don't do.
Correct. Well, you know what I noticed, Robert? I mean, you look at the stats, and it said 88% of the people wish they would have learned financial literacy or more, or I will put it, learned more about money or finances. But they have the opportunity to do it, but they don't. And that's part of the problem is you look at how many people we talk to, or even on Facebook, you put something about finances up, you'll get 2-3 likes. But you put something up about my cat, oh my God, everybody in the world is liking it.
Exactly.
So they say they want to learn it, but do they really?
And the question is, so I'm going to give you an analogy. So most people who know me know that I spend a lot of time performing stand-up comedy. And recently I've been traveling to cities all across the USA, and I'm always taking these inexpensive flights, right? And some people like to put down the inexpensive airlines because, oh, they don't have free coffee or free drinks. Well, what I will tell you is that they're commuter flights. Use them properly, and you can travel. I have had round trips, check this out, round trips from Tampa to Dallas for $38, $38 total round trip. So I'm gonna tell you that you understand how money works, and all of a sudden you start using the benefits that are out there.
Well, why don't you tell them the story, and I know you did it a few weeks ago, about when we got pulled over by the cop when you're coming from one event to the other.
Great story. We got a caller on the line. Beth is on the line. Beth, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What is happening in this great city of Tampa?
Well, it's not raining now.
Good. So have you had to talk with your kids yet? The talk?
Yeah, we've had lots of talk.
Oh, good. Yeah, but it's not the talk I'm talking about. It's the talk about how money works. But let's get into it. What do you got on your mind, my dear?
So I was wondering, when you're putting your house like in your will and estate and stuff, what's the best way so that you don't have to pay, the kids won't have to pay so many taxes and stuff like in the estate?
So you're saying that if something happens to you, your husband gets the house free and clear and vice versa, right? That's typically the way it works. Now, if something happens to the second spouse, does it go to the kids without A, probate, and B, real estate taxes, right? So two things you want to know. The government is always going to want their taxes. So even if we put it into a trust, there still could be taxable events unless, and here's the thing, unless you actually put them on the property. But here's the problem with putting them on title. If you do put them on title and one of them has a car accident, now that asset that you own also becomes their asset, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean as a possibility if something were to go wrong?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, you could get sued for your child's accident.
So theoretically, you could lose that. So what most people do, and I would definitely recommend an attorney, and we definitely work with attorneys that set up living trust. If you don't have a trust, you want to set up a trust because the trust then takes ownership of the property. And when they take ownership of the property, you still own it, but you own it as the trustees of your family trust. So you still control what goes on. You still are required to pay the taxes, the HOAs, and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, the trust still owns the property when both of you pass away. The kids get the opportunity to use the house, but they wouldn't theoretically own the house at that point. And then again, every state has a little different nuance with that. So that's where getting with a trust attorney that we can recommend, that we use, would probably be of assistance to you to understand your situation because everybody's a little different.
Okay.
Great question.
Okay. That's awesome. And then also wanted to ask, do you recommend like a deed upon death for like cars that are paid off, or if you do have a house that's paid off and stuff?
So you have a house. That's still going to be, you can put a car into a trust, especially like if it's a classic vehicle, right? You can take that, put it into the trust so that the ownership doesn't change, right? That's going to be important. Ownership is what, when that changes, that's where taxes come in and Uncle Sam comes in. So like, for example, in certain states, like California now is trying to pass a law where you no longer have so let's say I pass away, my kids get the house, they would have to pay the taxes on the step up value where it used to be it passed on forever and ever, right? So if I bought it at 100,
the law did pass 2 years ago.
So it did pass.
Yes,
okay, because I think Dawn was talking about it, wasn't
she? Yes, it did pass.
So some of the things that we have to understand is that the rules are different in every state. So if you're in Florida, then definitely we would sit down with a Florida attorney. And we do, like I said, we have a nationwide organization that we use to set up living trust, and they have attorneys that represent every state. So we get on the phone with them, we go over what the parameters are specific to your specific state, and more importantly your situation, and then decide whether you have a trust. If you don't have a trust, it's certainly worth having one. If you do have a trust, it's worth getting reviewed to make sure that the components are the same, because if you got it created in state A like California and now you're living in state B, there could definitely be some alterations that you might need to make that trust. And if you're just altering the trust, it's usually less expensive than creating a new one.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Okay, my dear. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your participation. And we will talk more about that. If you have any questions, you know where to reach us. Financial411.net. Thanks, Beth.
Oh, thanks.
So, Deanna, where were we? We were talking about literacy again, or what, were you onto a different topic?
No, we're still because that's a big topic, because all money has to do with literacy, no matter
what. Talking about the enjoyment of it, right? So Deanna wanted me to tell a story. Let me remind you of the story. So I was traveling from Des Moines to St. Louis because I had just done a comedy show in Des Moines, now doing a show in St. Louis. It's 1 a.m. I'm driving on a road between Des Moines and St. Louis. Two-lane highway, 65 miles an hour is the speed limit. I'm now going, check this out, 70 to 75 consistently, watching my speed just in case, because I didn't want to get a ticket. I probably hit 74, 75, and there they are. The lights are behind me. Now, this is 1 a.m. Literally, I am the only person on the road, and I'm going to tell you that while we were pulled over, not one car, let me repeat, not one car past us while we're sitting on the road. So the police officer comes to the window and he says, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" Which, by the way, if you've ever watched any of my comedy, you've heard that line over and over again. And I said, "Yes, I do. I was going between 70 and 75. He goes, "Well, I got you at 75. And I said, "Okay." And then he goes, "What are you doing here at 1 o'clock in the morning?" And I explained that I was doing stand-up comedy and that I had just done the show in Des Moines. And if I was to drive 8 hours that day, I'm going to be way too tired to do the show. So we drive at night. So I'm driving at night. I get pulled over. He then says, "Okay, license and registration, please." So he pulls over the license, takes the registration, goes and sits in the car. And I'm talking to Deanna and I'm saying,
"We're getting a ticket because it took way too long."
Way too long. I'm sitting here going, this guy is going way too long. I think what he's doing was Googling my name to see if I was literally doing stand-up comedy. So long story short, he comes to the window and he says, "Sir, I'm just going to give you a warning." And he says, "So you're doing it, come on, where are you doing your show?" I said, "At the Helium Club in St. Louis." So we're now doing the club in the Helium. I just did the Funny Bone in Des Moines. So we're having this conversation. And now for 10 more minutes, he is talking to me about stand-up comedy at the window. And he goes, "You know," and then he ends it with, "You know, you're about 300 miles from St. Louis. It's going to take you a long while to get there." I said, "I know. I was trying to make up time, 10 miles an hour."
But you know what? If you probably tell them you were a financial advisor, we probably would have left 10 minutes earlier from him.
Yeah, with the ticket in hand.
No, he wouldn't have wanted to have that conversation.
He wouldn't have had the conversation, but he wouldn't have taken. My point is that people don't pay attention to what is important. They pay attention to what is enticing, delightful. Like, for example, right? I could eat broccoli. I hate broccoli. I could eat broccoli with cheese on it, which then makes it not good. But chocolate ice cream every night of the week. Why? Because it tastes good. It's the same thing. People talk about comedy and about entertainment and about concerts because it's a feel-good scenario. But talking about finances, and here's the problem with that. People think that because my finances aren't in good shape today, I'm embarrassed to have a conversation with somebody about my finances, particularly on the radio or on the air or even in person, because they're concerned that their finances aren't where they should be. But here's the thing. You don't get to where you need to go if you don't know where you are and you don't have a direction to get there. Like, for example, your GPS, your financial GPS cannot tell you how to get to where you want to go if it doesn't already know where you are. And you're going to hate this phrase. Am I right or right?
You're wrong. You're right. I do hate that phrase.
I know, but I love it. It's the title of my next comedy
series.
But
you know what? I'm sitting here thinking and remembering when we were waiting for our bigger house to be built, and we were in the smaller house, the rental one, and right before we moved, remember we had a garage sale, and you were talking to the neighbors that we met at the garage sale and stuff, and you were telling them what you did for a living. Wasn't it amazing how many of them said, "Oh my gosh, I need financial help, but I can't afford anyone." Mm-hmm. They think that everybody charges so much for help, and that's why a lot of these people, middle Americans, are not going for help because they don't think they can afford it.
Great point. You know, one of the things we like to point out is that getting with a good financial planner doesn't necessarily mean you have to pay fees up front. So there are planners that do charge fees, and they like to tout themselves because they don't take quote-unquote commissions. Like, for example, you're not allowed to both earn a commission and charge a fee. However, here's what you have to understand is that if you're getting a broker that charges a fee, he's making recommendations that may or may not work, and then he's still taking, or someone is taking, money out of your pocket. So you're like, if you paid for a plumber and the plumber did a terrible job, would you want to go back to that plumber and go, "Hey, this didn't work"? And the answer is, of course you would. But imagine going to a financial advisor who's dealing with your most important money and then telling you, "Well, yeah, it didn't work, but here's the cost. Here's the bill." You'd be pissed.
Well, I look at it, too, of how many these people that we met with, and then they turn around, and they had plenty of money for retirement. They were in good shape, but they thought they were in bad shape because their plans were all set up wrong for them.
Exactly.
And that is a big mistake we're seeing with the middle America.
In other words, get a second opinion, right?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of them didn't even have a first opinion. And this is where we get back to where people think they know about money when, in a sense, they really don't know, because they don't know all the products out there. They don't know all the strategies. They don't know all the taxes. And every year, everything changes with those products. So maybe you put something in that you thought was a good product 10, 15 years ago. Well, now there's better products out there for them.
Yeah, so that's a good point, because I've got a gentleman that is in Texas, and he has been a client of one of our agents who's no longer in the business. But the carrier doesn't allow us to have their phone numbers. So I'm consistently writing him a letter telling him that he's got a product that's obsolete, that's not performing for him, and he now has the ability to get bonus money to start. So let me share with you something. I want to deviate a little bit from that and talk a little bit about saving for your retirement. So we're working with a brand new client. The client has money set aside, and they have what they believe is their total sum. But what you might not know is that if you have the right amount of money set aside, or you are of a certain age, so if you're above the age of 59 and a half and you've got a 401k or an IRA, if you got a 401k, you can move that money while you're still with the employer. It's called an in-service transfer, and you can move that money out and you can lock it in into safety. You can get growth predicated on market returns. You don't have any fees. You don't have any risk to your principal. And today, this is brand new, you can now get bonus dollars. So that means that you can actually, if you got $100,000 and the bonus is 10%, say in California, they would get $1,000. I'm sorry, $10,000 extra just to start, right? So I've got a gentleman with $300,000. We're going to be able to move some of his money from his 401k, add $30,000 to him immediately. Let me repeat that. He's going to get $30,000 day one. Then he's going to start earning market rates. But because the interest rates are a little bit higher, that's probably the only good thing for the higher interest rates, is that in today's economy, people can earn rates of return guaranteed at 5 or 6%. So if he puts that money away, he'll get his bonus of 10, plus he gets 5% on top of that, and then next year we can start playing the market. When I say play the market, his money is not in the market. His money is just going to mirror the index of a market. So for example, the S&P 500, it goes up 10%, he gets a percentage of that gain. He doesn't get all of it, he gets a percentage. In exchange for, if the market goes down, he gets to keep 100% of his principal, he gets to keep his interest that he earned the first year, and he gets to keep his bonus, all for putting the funds in the market today, right, without risk. So we can do that and make that happen. So I want to tell you that if you've got a 401k IRA above the age of 59 and a half, or you're quitting, moving your job, there are some things that we can do to help add instant cash into your account, get growth predicated on market returns, and then take no risk to your principal, and the best important thing, no fees, no expenses, you're not even paying me. So if you've got a 401k or an IRA, then definitely it's a good opportunity for you to learn more about how your money works and how your 401k works. So with that, so we were talking this morning about the way that people manage the money, the kids not knowing it. So we talk about the kids now getting into money management, understanding things. I want to tell you something, and this is important, and I'm going to deviate a little bit from our initial topic, but go ahead.
Wait, before you go off, Robert, there's one other stat that I want to give you. What do you think, because you're talking about kids not knowing how to manage money and stuff, where America's become too much plastic. And what I mean by plastic is credit cards.
Yep.
Okay? We're relying too much on credit cards. How much annually do you think we as Americans pay in credit card debt that includes interest and fees?
Okay, so
annually.
So let me just repeat. So we're talking about all of America.
Uh-huh.
Paying credit card companies,
credit card debt,
like MasterCard, Visa, American Express,
and fees.
So not what their principal return is, just what they're being charged for interest and what they're being charged for fees. Go ahead, tell us the answer.
What do you think? I want your number.
God, that's got to be trillions. I'm going to say $100 trillion.
No, it's $120 billion.
$120 billion.
That's annually.
$120 billion. And so you wonder why the banks are big. Is it because we're allowing them to take advantage of us? Good question.
Well, yeah. Well, take a look at this. $17 billion annually are paid in overdraft and non-sufficient fees.
Wait, say that again.
$17 billion annually are paid in overdraft in non-sufficient fees.
$17 billion. You wonder why the banking industry is so large. When you see those big names on the bank, I'll tell you why. It's because you're paying for it.
Yeah, because people are mismanaging their money. They don't know how to use...
That takes me from topic A to topic B, so I'm switching my whole thing right now, is that one of the things that people always talk about is how do we get more money from corporations so that they can foot the bill, right?
Absolutely.
That's the question.
Yep.
Well, we all know this, is that as interest rates have climbed, supposedly to curtail inflation, what has happened is banks are now charging greater interest rates because their cost of money is higher.
Just, I got to talk to a girl the other day who said her credit card's up to almost 35% interest rate now.
Exactly.
Yes.
I looked at one form because, you know, I get those solicitations in the mail.
Yes.
Forget your 0% interest rate for a year. And then after the year, it goes to the normal interest rate. The normal interest rate on this solicitation I got was 33.49%. Could you imagine if you could, as a consumer, earn 33.49% per year?
Well, what are we finding out now when we go to use our credit cards with the merchants?
We're finding out that now the merchants are actually charging you the fee. So let me talk to, this is a great comment, I'm going to elaborate on this. And that is that when you are charging something on your credit card, historically the merchant was paying a fee for the privilege of using MasterCard, Visa, American Express as a form of payment. So you go charge them for $30 and then they were paying a 2-3% fee on the $30 that they took. So they weren't actually keeping all of the money, they were paying out in fees. So remember now, the credit card company is charging you interest on the money that you borrowed, and they're charging the fees to the business owners. Well, the business owners are saying, we're going to continue to take the card, but guess what? We're now going to pass on that fee to the consumer. Well, here's what you guys have to understand, and you don't get it, is that every time you try to incorporate or charge more expenses to the wealthy people who create the jobs, to the wealthy people who actually have the businesses, you're actually realizing you're charging yourself. They're not going to pay it. They're just going to pass it on to the consumer. The consumer pays for everything. So you say tax the rich. The rich say two things. A, you're out of a job. We're getting rid of somebody. So instead of four people doing a job, they're going to get three people doing the work of four, so they pay less. And then number two is that they're going to raise the rates or the costs. So, for example, I've had this conversation with a person just recently about the price of gas. And I tried to explain to him that if you raise the price of gas, that's what controls the world. Because now, how do goods get to the stores, right? To the retailers. The goods get to the stores simply by the truckers that bring them, right? Now the truckers, they have to pay for gas to get there. So when you raise the price of gas or you stop drilling, what happens is you now create a lower supply, more demand, increased prices, right? Increased price of gas, now the trucker has to pay more to get the goods to the store. So the manufacturer has to charge more because he has to pay more to the trucker to pay for his gas. Now the retailers, they're being charged more for the price for the product, so they have to charge more. That's how inflation starts. If you lower the price of gas, obviously, then the cost could go down. But what people don't realize is the retailers, the business owners, they never pay the taxes. All they're going to do is raise the rates on you. And that's what people are missing out on.
Well, here's something that, food for thought, Robert, what most people don't think about. Let's say you go in, you buy something, you're being charged tax on it now, and you're being charged the merchant's fee. Well, guess what? You're being charged 30% on the merchant's fee and the tax.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the merchandise you're buying, it's those two other things you're being charged that 30% on now.
Exactly. One of the things I've said is that when you actually go ahead and you finance your dinner, let's say you got a credit card, it's got a $2,000 debt on it, right, balance. So you went to dinner with your spouse, significant other, date, what have you, and you paid $50 for your dinner, right? So you use a credit card. But now you're not paying off anything but the minimum payment. So that means that $50 plus the fees they charge you plus the interest is now being added onto your balance. So you didn't pay $50, you might have paid $60. And if you do it over time, you might pay $70 or $80. Understanding how money works, and that's what we talked about at the beginning of our show. kids don't get it. They just put a credit card down, especially if it's mom or dad's credit card, right? They put the credit card down, they pay for dinner, but they don't realize that they're costing themselves more unless you pay off. Like if you, the old days, American Express was a charge card. So if you got the original American Express, it's a charge card that you use and you just now pay the end result. You pay the cost at the end. Okay, that's pretty much all you got to do. I didn't take a hard break. We're going to take a hard break, Ed, and we are going to be back with From Diapers to It Depends in just a bit. Okay, we'll be back. Break.
I'm Robert Goldsmith.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you reviewed your life insurance policy? Whether you purchased your plan more than 3 years ago or recently from an unprepared agent, chances are your plan may be obsolete. The fact is, most of the plans offered lack all of the features and benefits that you're entitled to. While most policies only pay someone else when you die, our new plans actually pay to keep you alive. Plans that may offer you access to cash for medical needs or may even help supplement your retirement. Now here's another question. If what I just said is true, then which one of those two plans would you prefer? The old one that only pays someone else when you die, or the new one that pays for you to live, particularly if the costs are about the same? Find out more by contacting me at 1-844-435-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
This is a life insurance benefit that offers you the option to accelerate some or all of your death benefit in the event you meet the criteria for a qualifying event described in the policy. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, host of the unscripted talk radio program From Diapers to It Depends, where almost anything goes. Every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., I'll be bringing you tips and tricks on how to get the most from your hard-earned money. With money comes questions, and I've got the answers. Do you realize that almost everything you do can impact your financial lifestyle? From how you pay for your dinner to how you finance your home, everything is important. Tune in each and every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m., and let's make your money work hard for you on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional. Everyone knows there are few places to accumulate funds for your retirement. At-risk options, exposing your life savings to the volatility of a casino and often filled with hidden fees and expenses. Or in a bank, principal protected, but with the returns lower than your grandpa used to earn. Now there's a third option, the peace of mind alternative. Accounts that protect your principal like a bank, but with earnings tied to an index tracking the market. The best of both worlds. Here's how it works. When the market rises, your account values are credited with all or a portion of the index gain. Gains that can be locked in as your new protected principal. But when the index drops, your account stays exactly the same. No fees, no losses. And these plans can generate an income stream for the rest of your life, even if you ran out of money. It's a great option for old 401ks and IRAs. Call me now, Robert Goldsmith. 844-435-SAFE. 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
Plans backed by A-rated insurance carriers and are not a direct investment in the market. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half or greater than 10% annually may incur a penalty. Ask for details. Not available in all states.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We are back with the final segment of our show, From Diapers to It Depends, and I'm Robert. This is Deanna.
Are you Deanna?
I am.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to let you know about what we've been talking about today. Our goal here today is to try to assist you with really taking the initiative. And one of the things that people make or have the misconception of is that they believe that getting with a financial professional is going to cost them a lot of money. They don't have the money or they're embarrassed about this situation. Don't be embarrassed, because you know what? Whatever you've accumulated is your starting point. And it doesn't matter where you start. Only matters where you finish. You know, when my kid, we used to coach basketball, and we go into conversations about, hey, Dad, how come I'm not starting? Well, because it doesn't matter who starts. It only matters who finishes, right? That's where the end game is. And that's what we want to do for you. We want to really kind of focus on teaching you the rules of engagement, understanding where you are, and then taking you to the next level. And then the most important thing is showing you how to get things to work cohesively, right? All of one. And I always encourage you to do this, and that's to go out to Forbes. On Forbes.com, there's an article we wrote called Should Your Retirement Crash? Now, we're not talking about crashing in the sense that your market crashed, the stock market crashed, you got no money left, but in fact, talking about how to avoid that, and more importantly, how to get things to work together. right? So you might say, how does crash and work together make sense? Well, here's what I talk about. In the movie Crash, there are seven separate storylines that have nothing to do with one another, right? So if you bought insurance, right, it's separate from your investment. Oh, that's what most people think. But you don't realize that if they work together, you actually get more income, maximum cash flow when you have your insurance talking to your retirement and working with the tax man. And oh, by the way, as I said earlier in our conversation, talking about how it affects your Medicare, right? Those are all things that in and of itself seemingly are separate from one another. But yet at the end of the day, they need to be working in conjunction, in harmony, if you will. And if you don't do that, then you're going to end up paying more. It's kind of like walking into McDonald's and you order a burger, a fry, and a shake separately, right? You order a burger, fry, and shake separately from each other. Separately. So you end up paying more because you didn't buy them as a combo pack. Well, when it comes to your financial plan, if you don't have the insurance, the tax man, and the retirement plan all working together, you're going to end up losing money that you could have had. Now remember, this is the same account. You just didn't coordinate them properly. You didn't buy them as a combo pack. So you ended up spending more money, sending more money to Uncle Sam, losing more from the distribution portion of your retirement because you simply didn't get it. You didn't get somebody to work with you to understand the rules of engagement. So one of the things we do at Financial 411 is we actually work with you to assist you to get it right. And we're not going to charge you a fee. You're simply going to go ahead and we're going to send you our information form, what we call our GPS. And it's kind of like a roadmap. We're going to take the information that you put in it, and then we're going to show you, hey, if this is the trajectory that you're on today, if you did nothing else, here's where you could reasonably expect to be. Now, there's no exact science because interest rates change, markets change, but we can give you, based on past performance, where you would expect to be. Then we're going to go and show you that if we did this, if we incorporated the insurance policy, the Medicare plan, the life insurance, all that stuff together, then we'll be in a position where we can assist you in a better fashion so that we can help you get to where you need to be and then retire comfortably. Isn't it better to be in a position where you can retire with the amount of money you want to live comfortably the rest of your life? And here's the other thing that is very important. You know, one of the biggest topic of conversations in the media today, inflation, right? Inflation is hitting everybody. Well, if you get a plan from your pension, if you get a 401k distribution, if you take a level payment and it never changes, well, inflation is going to eat up that cash flow at some point, right? You're going to end up spending more, and so you're going to have to settle for less. So one of the things that we actually do for you is we show you how to create, get this, an increasing retirement plan for the rest of your life. Imagine when the stock market goes up that your income went up too. And here's the best part. If the income goes up, but then the market drops, it stays at where it was. You don't have to lose any spending value. Most important thing, get with a financial advisor, learn what it takes to manage your money, get the information. We're going to help you. It's at no charge to you. Now, you can reach us at 1-844-435-SAFE. That's 1-844-435-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 7233. And we'll work with you to make sure that you get the plan. We'll send you the forms for free. We got a lot of good information that you can get at no charge. So if you're out there and you're saying, hey, I want to manage my money.
Well, even for people that want second opinions, you know, on their plans. Look, at you met with a couple in Texas who paid an advisor, and she was complaining she paid thousands of dollars as an advisor who did nothing for her and then came to you for free, and she's like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have found you first.
Hey, I can't tell you, and thank you for incorporating that. A lot of people don't realize that because they have a lack of understanding of how it works, they take forever to get back to us or to get to us in the first place. But you know, the good thing is I've got a great referral network of people who have referred us clients. If you're out there, you've got questions, don't miss out. We got about 30 seconds to wrap it up. Anything you want to throw into?
No, I won't wait till next week because I had a few things I wanted to add on to this.
So write them down and we'll bring them up next week.
Yes.
And we will be back next week with more insight and information.
And I think next week, because the changes of Social Security are out, that we'll just go over the Social Security plans for 2025.
Perfect. We'll talk Social Security next week. We're going to be right back in 15 seconds. Paul Malloy is up next with Freedom Works. And we are Robert and
Deanna.
And we are
the better half.
Financial411.net. Thank you so much. Have a great week. You guys out there, thank you for watching. Have a great week. See you next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, the